Hi, everybody. I'm Pastor Rick, and we're back out at our farm this week, and this may be the first week I get rain. I've been teaching you all year from this farm, and it's clouded up and getting a little windy. We may have a little rain before this message ends, but it won't bother me. I'm glad you've joined us. Before we look at God's Word, I want to mention that this next Wednesday is Veterans Day. And in our church family, we always honor our vets and those serving on active duty in some branch of service. I wish I could have you all stand right now. I wish we could applaud you like we normally do. We usually have gifts for our veterans to express our appreciation. But this is an unusual year. And so just let me say something that I like to remind everybody about every time we have Veterans Day. It's important for everybody to remember who actually has secured the freedoms you enjoy. It's our veterans, not reporters, who give us the freedom of the press. It's our veterans, not poets, who give us the freedom of speech. It's our veterans, not political organizers, who give us the freedom to assemble. And it's our veterans, not lawyers, who give us the freedom to have a fair trial. It's our veterans, not politicians, who give us the freedom to vote. And it's our veterans, not preachers, who give us the freedom to worship publicly. And so to all of you who've served in one of our services on behalf of a grateful nation, thank you. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Would you bow your heads? Father, together we want to give thanks for these men and women who have served you and have served you by serving others. We thank you for the freedoms that we have and enjoy today because they're protected by these who've served. We thank you for their integrity. We thank you for their sacrificial service, for their dependable loyalty, for their willingness to take risks. And we thank you for their commitment to duty. And we ask you to bless them in a special way today. And may we all be inspired by their unselfish service and by their examples. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as many of us expected, the outcome of the presidential election here in America is headed for a court battle. So nobody really knows yet how it's going to end. But what we do know is that just like COVID-19 pandemic and everything else this year, it's going to take longer than we like. Has it ever occurred to you that God is using this year, 2020, as a year of testing? He's testing our character, he's testing our commitment, and he's testing definitely our patience. Seems pretty obvious to me. You know, in Ezekiel 21:13, it says this, "I am testing my people, and they can do nothing to stop me," says the Lord. Now, this entire year, but especially in the past few weeks, have stirred up a lot of negative emotions. It's interesting to me, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, that in the English language, a lot of the negative emotions that we feel begin with D. Now, let me apologize here to all our non-English speaking Saddleback family. We love you so much. You know, in our Saddleback church family, which is spread across four different continents, we speak 169 different languages, including we speak Cantonese in our church in Hong Kong. We speak Spanish in our church in Buenos Aires. We speak Tagalog in our church in Santa Rosa, Philippines. And we speak German in our church in Berlin. But for those of you who speak English, I'm going to read a list of negative emotions that all begin with D in English. And as for the rest of you, just realize it's a long list of negative emotions. Right now, for many different reasons, people have told me they feel damaged, debilitated, deceived, defeated, defensive, dejected. They feel delayed and demeaned, demoralized, denigrated, denied, depleted, depreciated. They feel depressed, deserted, desperate, despondent, destroyed. They feel disgusted, disillusioned, discouraged, and disappointed. You know, In most places around the world, you don't just vote in an election on one position or one candidate. You're asked to vote on a number of different things. For instance, this week here in America, on the ballot I received in California, there were maybe 50 different positions and laws to vote on or for or against. Now, since nobody can win every time, I'm sure everybody who voted in an election this week anywhere in the world experienced losses and failures because we have lots of things to vote on. We all have losses in life. We all have failures in life. We all have disappointments in life. How do you recover from the disappointments of life? That's what I want us to look at today. I want us to look at what do you do when your plan doesn't match God's plan. Have you noticed that God often has different ideas than you do about your life? Whether you're trying to recover from a disappointment of an election or an experience or the disappointment of employment or an embarrassment or the disappointment of an expectation, what do you do? What should you do when you're disappointed by anything? Well, what I want to do this weekend is recommend 8 principles from God's Word, 7 actually, that will help you through difficult times, including the time we're going through right now as we wait on who's going to be the leader for the next 4 years in America. All right, get out a pencil, and if you want to download the outline, you can. It's online at saddleback.com or pastorrick.com. But here's what you ought to do anytime you're disappointed in anything. Anytime you have a failure, anytime you have a loss. Number one, always choose faith over fear. Always choose faith over fear. When things don't work out the way you wanted, when your plan is not God's plan, when you don't understand what's going on, always choose faith over fear. You don't panic, you pray. You don't worry, you worship. You turn your thoughts to the greatness of God. You know, fear never, ever helps. And worry has never solved any problem anytime. So, for instance, in this election debacle right now, worry never solves anything. Now, in this current election situation, there are 2 reasons you shouldn't be fearful. There's a biblical one, and there's actually a historical one. First, God's commandment to not be afraid is the most repeated command in the Bible. Did you know that? God's command to not be afraid, to not be fearful, to not be anxious, to not worry, is the most repeated command in the Bible. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. God really doesn't want us to be anxious or fearful. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, a spirit that makes us afraid, but he gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control. So just that reason enough, God says, don't panic in the days ahead while there's a lot of unsettled factors going on. He says, I have given you a spirit of power and love and self-control, not a spirit of fear. But you know, there's a second reason not to be afraid is what history teaches us. And if you know history, many, many elections in the past have taken a long time to decide. In 1800, the presidential contest between Aaron Burr and Thomas Jefferson, it took weeks for them to decide. It happened again in 1824 between Adams and Jackson. Now, the longest time that it ever took to decide who was going to be president was in 1876. A guy named Rutherford Hayes, a Republican versus Samuel Tilden, a Democrat. Hayes won by 1 electoral vote, but it took until